Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily. It's Thursday, September 18th, 2025, and we've got a really gripping lineup of stories today. These incidents truly illuminate the rapidly shifting landscape of cyber threats. Today, we're taking a deep dive into three events that really underscore just how complex, how audacious, and unfortunately, how common these digital attacks have become. We're talking about everything from, staggering data breaches affecting global giants, to the fascinating and frankly pretty unnerving human element behind some notorious hacking groups, and also how even the most sophisticated financial firms can fall prey to some really cunning adversaries. Our mission today: cut through the noise, pull out the most important nuggets of knowledge from these real-world events, and basically give you a shortcut to being truly well-informed. We've got some surprising facts and hopefully enough insight to keep you hooked.
Indeed. What truly strikes me here is how these, seemingly disparate incidents often connect. In really unexpected ways sometimes. They reveal common tactics, persistent threat actors, and the truly vast, almost unfathomable scale of information that's now vulnerable across our interconnected digital world. We're going to unpack some truly remarkable facts for you, digging into the technical how and maybe the broader why behind these latest digital dangers.
Absolutely. Each of these stories, you could easily rip them from the pages of a high-tech thriller, right? But they are very real, happening right now, and they challenge, pretty much every assumption we have about who gets targeted and how. Prepare to be fascinated, because we're about to dive deep into these tales of digital intrigue. Okay, let's unpack our first story, and frankly, this one is almost mind-boggling in its sheer scale. We're talking about claims of over 1.5 billion records stolen from hundreds of companies, all tied back indirectly to Salesforce. That number, 1.5 billion. It doesn't just sound big, it sits differently, doesn't it? It represents this just unimaginable volume of personal and business information now potentially in the wrong hands, a literal data ocean.
It absolutely does. And what truly strikes me here isn't just the sheer volume, massive as it is, it's the sophisticated, multi-layered approach they used to achieve it. This wasn't, a mere digital smash and grab. It was more like a meticulously orchestrated symphony of deception and exploitation, something that unfolded over time. It really highlights a critical trend where attackers are patiently exploiting these sort of indirect vulnerabilities.
Yep.
To achieve truly massive data exfiltration rather than, say, attempting direct high-profile assaults on the primary targets.
Right. And the sheer scale begs the question, who are the players in this digital drama? We're hearing names like Shiny Hunters, but also some very familiar ones, Scattered Spider, Lapsus, and some groups are even calling themselves Scattered Lapsus Hunters. It sounds like a cyber supergroup, like some sort of Avengers of the Dark Web, but, for entirely nefarious purposes. What does this fluid nature of threat actor groups mean for, attributing attacks? What are the challenges this collaboration presents?
That's a crucial observation. This shifting nomenclature, this apparent collaboration, it's a clear indicator of the highly fluid and adaptable nature of modern cybercriminal collectives. These groups, they often share tools, intelligence, maybe even have overlapping memberships, which makes them significantly harder to track and attribute definitively. For instance, intelligence agencies like the FBI or Mandiant, they've been tracking some of this activity under specific identifiers, things like UNC 6040 and UNC 6395. These UNC's identifiers, they stand for uncategorized threat clusters. They're internal tracking codes, really. They represent observed activity that's attributed to a specific group or set of behaviors even before a formal public group name is maybe established. They're critical for tracking these evolving threats, these persistent actors who often rebrand or splinter or form temporary alliances. This adaptability makes them particularly challenging to counter, right? Because their operational structures aren't rigid, and their capabilities can quickly scale up through these collaborations.
Okay, so for a breach this massive, many might naturally assume, a frontal assault on Salesforce's core infrastructure, but the actual method of entry was far more sophisticated, wasn't it? What was the subtle yet incredibly effective vulnerability exploited here? How did they pull this off?
You're absolutely right. It wasn't a direct brute force attack on Salesforce itself, which, like you said, would be a monumental undertaking, just huge. Instead, the infiltration began through a far more subtle and, frankly, insidious method, compromised third-party OAuth tokens. The initial breach, the thing that kicked off this massive chain of events, reportedly leads back to Salesloft's GitHub repository. Now, for our listeners, GitHub repositories, they're fundamental for software development, sure, but they're absolute gold mines for threat actors, especially when they inadvertently expose secrets. They often contain a company's most sensitive IP, its source code, yes, but critically, also things like hard-coded API keys, database credentials, and, as in this case, OAuth tokens. which are essentially digital keys to other systems.
So they were basically scanning the blueprints for hidden treasure. And to do this, the threat actors reportedly used a security tool called Truffle Hog. It's designed to find secrets and code things like API keys and credentials. The irony is just chilling, isn't it? A tool specifically designed for security was weaponized and used for a breach. Does this point to a fundamental shift in how we need to think about securing our own security tools?
Absolutely. That's a chilling irony. It really demonstrates a deep understanding of security practices by the attackers, turning a defensive measure into an offensive one. It's clever in a bad way. It forces us to consider that even the tools we use to protect ourselves can become vectors if not meticulously secured. And among those secrets found by Truffle Hog were these OAuth tokens, specifically for the SalesLoft Drift and Drift email platforms. Now, for our listeners, what exactly is an OAuth token? Why is it so incredibly powerful if stolen? It sounds like a generic technical term, maybe, but its implications are anything but.
Right. Break that down for us.
Okay. Think of an OAuth token as a digital key, but with a specific scope and usually a temporary lifespan. Instead of giving a third-party application your actual username and password to, say, Salesforce, you grant it an OAuth token. This token essentially says, yes, this app can access specific parts of my Salesforce account on my behalf. Quote, for these particular functions, without me needing to hand over my master key, it's incredibly convenient for integrating services like chat agents or email managers. It lets them perform actions in Salesforce without needing your direct credentials. Now, unlike a typical password, these tokens don't grant all or nothing access, usually. They come with very specific scopes, defining exactly what permissions the associated application, or in this case, the attacker, has. Whether it's just reading contact data or sending emails on your behalf, maybe even creating new records. Understanding and meticulously managing these scopes is paramount, because a broad scope and a compromised token, that can be catastrophic. When that key is stolen, it grants the attacker the exact same permissions the legitimate application had, allowing them to bypass traditional authentication mechanisms entirely. They just walk right in through a digital side door that was effectively left open.
Wow. And these specific tokens were for SalesLoft Drift and Drift Email. These platforms integrate AI chat agents, email management directly with Salesforce, syncing conversations, leads, support cases. So by stealing these tokens, the attackers essentially got a backstage pass, not just into a single account, but into the Salesforce instances of 760 companies. This isn't just about gaining access to one account. It's leveraging a single weak point to fan out across this vast network of interconnected businesses.
Precisely. A single point of failure leading to potentially hundreds of breaches.
So with such extensive access established via those OAuth tokens,
yep.
The next critical question, maybe the most chilling one, is what data did they actually manage to grab? What did those staggering 1.5 billion records actually comprise? That number is so huge, it almost loses meaning without a breakdown.
It's an excellent question. And the answer really reveals the depth of this breach. We're looking at a pretty comprehensive haul across various Salesforce object tables. Salesforce's architecture, it relies on objects, right? Which function like highly structured database tables for specific business things. So account records, basically entries in the account object, detailing organizational clients, related business details, roughly 250 million of those. Then a massive 579 million contact records, think customer names, emails, phone numbers, other personal identifiers, huge amount. There were also 171 million opportunity records detailing sales leads, potential deals, about 60 million user records, likely internal employee data, and around 459 million case records. This whole array of data provides an incredibly deep and wide view into the operations and customer bases of hundreds of companies.
That case table, it sounds particularly sensitive. Why is that? What kind of information would be stored there that makes it such a juicy target for attackers beyond just general customer info?
Yeah, the case table stores information from support tickets, and this is where it gets truly critical and granular. Imagine a tech company's support tickets. They can contain deeply technical details about system configurations, maybe reported vulnerabilities, sensitive personal information from customers reporting issues, or even sometimes credentials inadvertently shared during support interactions. For any business, really, a support ticket can reveal operational weaknesses, specific customer problems, or proprietary internal processes. When you combine all that data, it's an absolute treasure trove for further exploitation. It provides context for highly targeted social engineering attacks, gives insights into specific system weaknesses, and loads of sensitive, personally identifiable information that can be used for identity theft or really sophisticated phishing campaigns. It's essentially a roadmap to a company's inner workings and its customers' pain points. revealing vulnerabilities from both technical and human perspectives.
Okay, so beyond the immediate devastating impact of this data loss, what does this all mean for the companies affected in the longer term? It sounds like there are deeper, more insidious implications here than just a simple data leak.
You're absolutely right. Beyond the immediate data loss, which is severe enough, obviously the attackers weren't just sitting on this data. Intelligence reports indicate they were actively searching through the exfiltrated information, looking for other hidden secrets within those 1.5 billion records. Things like Amazon Web Services access keys, often called IKEA keys, which grant programmatic access to cloud resources, various types of passwords, obviously, and even Snowflake-related access tokens for data warehousing environments. This means they weren't just stealing data. They were looking for keys to pivot into other critical systems and environments. An IKEA key, for instance, could grant an attacker the ability to manage or even take down cloud infrastructure, access sensitive data in cloud storage, deploy malicious code. It escalates the potential damage exponentially. They're essentially using the stolen data as a launch pad for subsequent, more targeted attacks, creating this dangerous ripple effect of potential breaches into entirely separate systems.
And the list of companies reportedly impacted, it reads like a who's who of the digital world. Google, Cloudflare, Zscaler, Tenable, CyberArk, Elastic, BeyondTrust, Proofpoint, JFrog, Nutanix, Qualys, Rubrik, Cato Networks, Palo Alto Networks, and many other giants in the tech and security space. These are some of the very companies you'd expect to be at the forefront of digital defense. The FBI even released an advisory warning about these specific threat actors, UNC 6040 and UNC 6395, sharing indicators of compromise. That really underlines the severity and widespread nature of this threat, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. The fact that such prominent security and tech companies were impacted through this third-party vector is a stark reminder. Nobody is immune. Even the strongest fortresses can have vulnerabilities through their supply chain or connected services. And adding a little side drama to this whole narrative, some of these threat actors claiming to be part of the Scattered Spider Collective even stated they were going to go dark. Mm. You know, stop discussing operations on Telegram. Yet researchers suggest they're still very active, targeting financial institutions. And there was also that brazen claim about breaching Google's law enforcement request system and the FBI e-check platform. It's almost like a villain's monologue before a dramatic exit, right? Yeah. Only to show up again in the next act.
That going dark claim just sounds like pure bravado. What's the reality behind those kinds of public statements from threat groups?
Precisely. That going dark claim was quite a show of bravado, often used to throw off investigators, maybe manage their public image within the cybercrime underworld. Regarding the Google claims, Google did confirm that a fraudulent account was indeed created in their law enforcement request system, the LERS platform, which is used by law enforcement agencies to issue data requests, right?
Yeah.
But importantly, they disabled it quickly, and no actual data was accessed or requests made using that fraudulent account. So, contained. It really shows the audacity of these groups, though, their willingness to boast about their capabilities, even if some claims are exaggerated or quickly mitigated by the targets. And the fact that researchers are still tracking their activity targeting financial institutions also demonstrates that their retirement was, well, at best, a temporary PR stunt, at worst, an attempt to divert attention.
Right. So for companies listening, what's the immediate, most critical takeaway here from this sprawling, multifaceted attack? How can they protect themselves against such a nuanced threat that leverages third-party connections and stolen digital keys?
Well, the critical importance of multi-factor authentication, MFA, cannot be overstated. It's a fundamental layer of defense, especially against compromised credentials, always. But beyond that, enforcing the principle of least privilege is paramount, meaning users and applications only have access to what they absolutely need to perform their function, nothing more. And finally, diligently managing connected applications and their permissions. Every single one of those OAuth tokens is a potential entry point, if not secured, regularly audited, and revoked when no longer needed. It's about understanding that your digital keys, even those granted to third-party services, are incredibly valuable assets. They must be protected as rigorously as your primary passwords. This incident specifically highlights the need for comprehensive third-party risk management. That extends even to a vendor's own code repositories. You need to assess not just their security posture, but how they manage secrets within their development pipeline. It goes deep.
Okay, shifting gears now to our next story. This one brings us a bit closer to the individuals allegedly behind some of these pervasive attacks. We're talking about recent arrests in the UK linking two teenagers to a major breach of transport for London. This really puts a human face on cybercrime, doesn't it? It grounds the abstract world of digital attacks, puts it in the context of very real consequences for young individuals and critical public infrastructure.
It absolutely does, and it connects directly to our previous story in a really significant way. The individuals arrested are believed to be members of the notorious Scattered Spider Collective, a group we just heard claiming involvement or at least association with those Salesforce hacks. This connection really underscores how young talent, when misdirected, can unfortunately be channeled into highly sophisticated and damaging cybercriminal enterprises. It's a stark reminder that the perpetrators aren't always these faceless entities, you know. Sometimes, they're remarkably young, skilled individuals operating from unexpected places, driven by a complex mix of motivations.
So two teenagers, Owen Flowers, 18, and Thala Joubert, 19, are now facing charges in the UK. What's particularly striking is that Flowers was actually previously arrested for his alleged involvement in the TFL attack back in September 2024, but then released on bail, only for more evidence to surface linking him to an attack against U.S. healthcare companies. This isn't a quick catch. This is clearly a persistent and evolving investigation. Law enforcement isn't letting up.
It truly demonstrates the tenacity of law enforcement, like the UK National Crime Agency, NCA, and their international partners, in pursuing these complex cases. The new evidence against Flowers, linking him to attacks against U.S. healthcare companies, suggests a broader and more persistent pattern of activity, beyond just the Transport for London breach. This kind of persistence from investigators is crucial because these groups are not static. They continually operate, evolve their tactics, expand their targets across borders, identifying the individuals even if they're young, and building a comprehensive prosecutable case. It takes significant time, international cooperation, and substantial resources to piece together all those digital breadcrumbs.
Let's focus on the Transport for London cyber attack itself. This happened back in August 2024. TFL is a massive organization, right? Providing services to over 8.4 million Londoners daily. Initially, when the attack was disclosed, they said no customer data was compromised. But that story later changed, didn't it? This kind of discrepancy in reporting can often cause confusion and, well, erode public trust, which is a major concern for public service providers.
Yeah, that raises an important question. Why the discrepancy in their initial statement? Often in the immediate aftermath of a breach, organizations are still deep in investigation mode. The full scope of data exfiltration might not be immediately apparent, especially if attackers are skilled at remaining undetected, which is often the case with groups like Scattered Spider. A thorough forensic investigation is absolutely crucial to determine exactly what was accessed, and it often takes weeks, maybe even months, for the complete picture to emerge. It's a common, albeit difficult, challenge for organizations balancing rapid disclosure with accurate information during a crisis. In this case, TFL later confirmed that customer data, including names, contact details, addresses, it had indeed been compromised during the incident. This just underscores the complexity of these investigations and the need for patience and thoroughness before making definitive statements.
And the actual impact beyond the compromised data. While London's iconic transportation services themselves, like the tube and buses, weren't affected, thankfully, internal systems, online services, even the ability to process crucial customer refunds were severely disrupted. That's a huge operational headache for an organization of TFL size, responsible for millions of daily journeys. Not to mention the reputational damage and the financial losses the NCA reported as being in the millions. It really goes to show that even if the trains are still running, a cyber attack can cripple an organization in countless other ways, affecting everything from staff morale to customer satisfaction.
Absolutely. And this isn't TFL's first rodeo either, unfortunately. They were hit back in May 2023 via a supplier's Amovit server. Remember that whole saga? Resulted in 13,000 customer records stolen by the Klopp ransomware gang. This just highlights ongoing vulnerabilities across interconnected systems and the persistent targeting of critical infrastructure. But what's particularly striking about this group, Scattered Spider, is their global reach and the sheer financial impact they've reportedly had. The U.S. Department of Justice has charged Thala Joubert, one of the arrested teenagers, with involvement in at least 120 network breaches and extortion attacks worldwide. Between May 2022 and September 2025, these attacks affected at least 47 U.S. organizations alone and the alleged ransom payments they collected, a staggering $115 million. This isn't small-time hacking or digital mischief. This is a highly organized, financially motivated criminal enterprise operating at a global scale.
Wow. $115 million in ransom payments. For a group allegedly involving teenagers, that's an incredible figure. It truly drives home the high stakes of these cyber attacks. It's not just about bragging rights or, you know, digital mischief anymore. It's about serious, tangible financial gain that can fund further criminal activities and allow these groups to scale their operations even further. That kind of money can fuel a very sophisticated and persistent criminal enterprise.
You're absolutely right. The NCA itself has warned about a concerning increase in threats from cybercriminals based in the UK and other English-speaking countries. With Scattered Spider being a prime example of this growing trend, this English-speaking aspect is significant because it often facilitates social engineering attacks, right? It removes language barriers, makes communications more convincing. And they're not just targeting large corporations or critical national infrastructure. Other suspected members of Scattered Spider were arrested back in July in connection with attacks on major retailers in the country, including household names like Marks & Spencer, Harrods, and Co-op. This demonstrates their broad targeting strategy and their ability to inflict damage across diverse sectors, affecting both public services and everyday consumer businesses.
This whole situation with Scattered Spider really makes you wonder deeply about the motivations and the ecosystem that allows young individuals to allegedly orchestrate such widespread and financially devastating attacks. Is it purely the thrill of the challenge, the allure of the money, or perhaps a lack of perceived consequences online? And how do these grooms recruit, enable, and even empower such young talent to cause such significant global disruption? It definitely shifts the profile of who we might imagine a cybercriminal to be. It raises profound questions about digital ethics, the responsibilities of online communities, and indeed our own society in understanding and addressing this, well, misdirected talent.
Okay, for our third story, we're heading into the rarefied world of venture capital. New York-based Insight Partners, a true giant in the VC and private equity space, is now warning thousands of individuals after suffering a ransomware breach. This is a firm that manages over $90 billion in assets, invested in over 800 software and technology startups worldwide throughout its 30-year history.
You'd think a firm of that stature, deeply embedded in the tech ecosystem, advising countless startups on security, you'd think they'd be almost impenetrable. It truly defies expectations that such a digitally savvy organization could fall victim in such a way.
Well, this compels us to ask a critical question. Is anyone truly impenetrable? This incident is a stark reminder that even highly sophisticated firms with significant resources, deeply invested in the tech world, they can still be vulnerable, especially when the attack vector exploits the human element. It's a critical lesson that no amount of advanced technology can fully negate the risks introduced by human interaction, human decision-making, which remain a perennial favorite target for cunning adversaries who understand psychology just as well as, or maybe even better than, code.
And that's exactly what happened here. A sophisticated social engineering attack. Can you explain what that means for our listeners who might not be familiar? It sounds like something straight out of a spy movie, maybe, but what does it really entail in a cyber context, especially when targeting a high-stakes firm like Insight Partners?
Right. Social engineering, at its core, it's the art of manipulating people, getting them to divulge confidential information or grant access to systems, often by exploiting inherent psychological vulnerabilities like trust or curiosity or maybe a sense of urgency. A sophisticated attack, in this context, means it's far beyond just a generic, easily recognizable scam email. Instead, it's highly researched, meticulously tailored, often multifaceted, built on prior reconnaissance about the target organization and its individuals. For a VC firm like Insight Partners, specific scenarios can involve attackers impersonating, say, a high net worth limited partner, LP, with an urgent, seemingly legitimate request for a wire transfer to a new account. Or perhaps mimicking a portfolio company executive needing immediate access to sensitive financial projections, setting a tight deadline. It could even involve deepfake audio mimicking an executive's voice to authorize a fraudulent transaction, or carefully crafted emails that perfectly replicate internal communications, complete with genuine-looking internal jargon and sender details. Such attacks bypass technical safeguards by exploiting trust and human error, effectively turning people into unwitting accomplices. The attackers exploit relationships, hierarchies, perceived authority to achieve their objectives. It's psychology weaponized.
So the attackers use this sophisticated social engineering to gain initial access to Insight Partners network around October 25, 2024. But then there's this crucial and frankly unsettling timeline. They didn't immediately encrypt servers. There was a significant gap between initial access and the actual ransomware deployment. Why the delay? What chilling purpose did this prolonged presence serve?
Exactly. This prolonged presence is a common and increasingly insidious tactic in modern ransomware attacks. First, they gain access, often through social engineering or another initial compromise. Then, instead of immediately encrypting everything and, you know, alerting their presence, they spend weeks, sometimes even months, exfiltrating data, quietly exploring the network, identifying valuable information, mapping critical systems, systematically downloading sensitive files. This phase is all about maximizing their leverage, ensuring they have a valuable asset even if the ransom for decryption isn't paid. Only after they've stolen what they want, securing their second demand, so to speak, do they then encrypt the servers. In this case, the encryption happened on January 16, 2025, nearly 3 months after initial access. This tactic is now widely referred to as double extortion. Pay the ransom to get your data back and pay a second, often even larger, ransom to prevent the stolen data from being leaked publicly or sold on dark web forums. It transforms the attack from a simple operational disruption into a comprehensive data theft and blackmail scheme with far greater financial and reputational implications.
And what kind of sensitive data did they manage to get their hands on from a VC firm like Insight Partners? I imagine it's not just basic customer information. A firm like this would hold incredibly valuable high-stakes data, stuff that could have massive repercussions.
It's indeed a goldmine for attackers, covering multiple fronts that can have far-reaching and long-lasting consequences. We're talking about banking and tax information, obviously critical for direct financial fraud. They also stole personal details of current and former employees, opening them up to identity theft, further targeted attacks. Crucially, they accessed highly confidential information related to their limited partners, the LPs. These are the high net worth individuals and institutions that invest in their funds. This could include their financial standing, investment strategies, personal contact details, even sensitive contractual agreements. Really sensitive stuff. And finally, they obtained fund, management company, and portfolio company information, which could reveal proprietary business strategies, intellectual property, unreleased product plans, sensitive financial data, competitive intelligence for hundreds of startups. The implications for identity theft, competitive intelligence, and sophisticated financial fraud across a broad spectrum of individuals and companies are just enormous and potentially very long-lasting.
Insight Partners is notifying 12,657 individuals offering complimentary credit or identity monitoring services. That's sort of the standard response, right? It's a necessary step, but it really speaks to the significant personal impact of such a breach. It's not just about a company's bottom line. It's about the very real anxiety, the potential financial fallout, and the burden of vigilance now placed on thousands of people, people who trusted Insight Partners with their most sensitive information.
It absolutely underscores that even in a ransomware attack, the data theft component is often the more damaging long-term consequence. Especially for a firm dealing with such high-value, sensitive financial and personal information. While recovering from encryption is a significant operational hurdle, sure, the permanent loss or exposure of confidential data can have cascading effects, leading to massive regulatory fines, costly lawsuits, identity theft for individuals, and a severe long-term erosion of trust with investors and partners. This makes that double extortion model particularly potent and, frankly, terrifying. The leverage persists even after system recovery. For a firm like Insight Partners, specific countermeasures against sophisticated social engineering would involve rigorous, continuous employee training. Training that goes beyond generic phishing tests, focusing on personalized attack simulations. Verifying all financial requests through secondary channels like phone calls to known numbers. And implementing strict approval workflows for sensitive data access or financial transactions. It needs to be layered. #TedChag connecting the threads and broader implications.
So, these three stories, from the Salesforce mega breach impacting hundreds of companies, to the arrests of alleged scattered spider members, and the ransomware attack on the venture capital giant Insight Partners, they truly paint a vivid and pretty alarming picture of today's cyber threat landscape. It's this panorama of digital dangers that are complex, global, highly adaptive, and deeply personal.
You know, what truly strikes me is the recurring themes we observe across these seemingly disparate incidents. The pervasive use of social engineering, right? Whether it served as the direct entry point for Insight Partners or as a likely initial vector to gain access to Salesloft's GitHub repository. Then there's the remarkable adaptability of threat actors, exemplified by groups like Scattered Spider that are incredibly prolific, financially motivated, and willing to rebrand, splinter, or collaborate to achieve their objectives. It's a clear and consistent pattern of human manipulation and organizational interconnectedness being exploited to devastating effect.
And the sheer scale, from 1.5 billion records allegedly compromised through Salesforce to critical national infrastructure disruption impacting millions of Londoners, and $115 million in alleged ransom payments linked to a single group. It shows that no target is too big or too small, too technically robust or too human dependent. Every organization, every individual is a potential point of compromise, and the consequences can be truly global, impacting lives, economies, and trust itself.
This really compels us to ask a critical question. What can we, as individuals and organizations, truly take away from these narratives? Something that feels actionable and impactful. It's the critical need for constant vigilance, first off. understanding the inherent value and specific permissions of your digital keys, like those OAuth tokens. And above all, recognizing that the human element remains one of the most significant and often underestimated vulnerabilities. Even the most secure, technically advanced systems can be bypassed if someone is successfully tricked or manipulated. This means security isn't just about implementing firewalls, right? It's about comprehensive, ongoing training, fostering a culture of healthy skepticism and robust procedural safeguards around human interaction, which are just as vital as any technological defense, maybe more so sometimes.
It's such a stark reminder that cybersecurity isn't just about firewalls and antivirus software anymore. It's about understanding the psychology and the sophisticated tactics of the attacker, recognizing the profound and multifaceted value of your data, and appreciating the intricate interconnectedness of all our digital lives. Every click, every permission granted, every piece of shared information, it carries an inherent evolving risk that we all must become more attuned to, from the largest corporation right down to the individual user. ##outro. And that's our deep dive into some of the most compelling cyber stories. From compromised Salesforce records impacting a who's who of tech giants, to teenage hackers allegedly impacting critical infrastructure and a VC powerhouse brought down by sophisticated social engineering. It's clear the digital world keeps us on our toes and, well, constantly learning.
Indeed. Understanding these narratives really helps us appreciate the complexity, the ingenuity, and sometimes the sheer audacity of modern threats. It highlights the constant, urgent need for adaptation in our security practices, both individually and organizationally. These are just sensational headlines, you know. They're valuable blueprints for how attackers are operating right now, offering invaluable insights into their methods, their motivations, and the vulnerabilities they seek to exploit.
What stands out to you from today's deep dive? Perhaps the sheer volume of stolen data and its ripple effects. Or maybe the youthful faces behind some of these major attacks, reminding us that expertise can emerge from unexpected places, sometimes with devastating intent. It definitely leaves you with a lot to think about regarding your own digital footprint, your organizational defenses, and this ever-challenging, ever-evolving landscape of cybersecurity.
And maybe a provocative thought for you to mull over. If even a security tool designed to find vulnerabilities can be weaponized for a breach, and a seemingly benign digital key, like an OAuth token, can unlock billions of records and pivot to entirely new environments. What's the next frontier in exploiting seemingly innocent or critical elements of our digital infrastructure? How do we build security that truly anticipates these creative and unforeseen avenues of attack, rather than just reacting to the last discovered exploit?
Powerful stuff to consider, indeed. Thank you for joining us on Cyber Mornings Daily. We hope you feel a little more informed and perhaps a lot more curious about the ever-unfolding drama of cybersecurity. We'll be back next time with more insights to keep you ahead of the curve. Until then, stay safe out there.